If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 4. And I want to make this announcement. I didn't hire a worship leader just to fill up time, or the band members to fill up time until it's time for me to preach. You know, to make a quote, quote, a service. These men and women, choir, praise and worship, all of them, are designed to prepare this pulpit for you to receive a life of covenant words. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just so you can enjoy it and move, which is okay. Anything wrong with moving and shouting and, you know, dancing before the Lord, things, I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying its main purpose is to make you understand that life is a covenant of words between you and God. That what he says, he must perform. That what you say, you must perform. So you have to understand that all this is preparation for your covenant with God in everything that you do. And a lot of people understand praise, but they don't understand worship. It takes them a while. What's the difference? Well, praise is congregational. Write that down. That'll help you. Worship is singular. It's a different level. When you praise, you're in congregational shouting and blessing or whatever. But when you worship, you don't know who's in front of you. You don't know who's behind you. You don't know who's on the side of you. You now enraptured into a covenant of words with God. God breathing on you, you breathing out upon him. That's what worship is. And if you got to work it up, something's wrong. And yet you can have a knockdown, glorious praise servant and people get shouted. I mean, they just go slap crazy. And then they walk out that building, out them doors, with the same problem they had when they walked in. But when you're standing in the presence of an almighty God and worship begins to come off of you and come off of him, it should change what's happening outside. I want to deal with that this morning. The Spirit of God woke me up this morning and said, go deal with it. I want to deal with understanding worship. Now look what it says in St. John chapter 4. Verse 24. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a truthful God. God is a God of spirit. Now, if you're going to worship, how many of you want to worship God? You want a life of a covenant of words with God. Hold your hand up. Then you must do it in spirit and in truth, which means you can't lie to him and he will not lie to you. God is spirit. And you worship him in spirit and in truth. Now let me say it again. Praise, when you praise God, that's congregational. You're being set up for worship. And worship doesn't necessarily mean a slow song or the tempo. It can be a fast song or a slow song. But something changes when you begin to worship. Notice when you praise, your emotions are kicking up. But all of a sudden, when it clicks over into worship, even though the song may be fast, tears begin to flow sometimes. Things begin to happen. Notice miracles begin to take place. Healings begin to take place. Pressures of life begin to dissolve. All of a sudden, that problem out there is not as big as it was when you walked in. And you might have had a praise tape on your car when you came in. Glory to God. But something, and you don't even have to be in church when worship hits you. It can hit you outside. In a laundromat. Washing till your grocery store. Glory to God. It's just, bam, something that I call it, for lack of a better term, that warmness of feeling. Now, worship rises or falls with our concept of God. Write that down. I want to try this. I'm going to do this slow. Give me a little time. This is very important. Worship rises or falls with our concept of God. There are a lot of people today that will go to church that will not worship, much less praise. They won't even praise because they don't have a concept of God. They have a concept of denomination, non-denomination, interdenomination, religious institution, independent units. We can't worship. We're Baptists. We can only worship in Baptist churches. We're Catholic. We can only worship in Catholic churches. Well, bless God. We were the faithful gospel. We can't worship unless we're in those contracts. Excuse me. Worship is not denominational or non-denominational or interdenominational. This is preparing you to stand before the presence of a holy throne and a holy God. So worship rises or falls with our concept of God. How big is your concept of God in every area of your life? If a hurricane's coming at you and you can't get out, what do? You go, no problem. My God. Or if you're in front of a burning fiery furnace, your concept of God, does it say this? We don't bow. It don't make no difference. You can throw us in there. You can do what you want. My concept of God is, if I don't bow, I don't burn. Mm-hmm. Three Hebrew children facing a death and life situation. But they understand God as a purist. The pure in heart shall see God. Think about that. That's concept more. Whoo, glory to God. See, that's what we want to do here at Covenant Church. That's why I named it. That's why I will not allow strife or prejudice of any kind to come on these grounds. Anyone to work for me with that. Because you see, if you got that, then your concept of God and your concept of worship will never be where it's supposed to be. You see my point? It's vitally important that you understand that. Having done all the stand therefore. Now that's a concept of God. You did all. You can't do no more. This is it. So a fight you want, a fight you're going to get. Because I ain't bowing. Because I'm not bowing, I'm not burning. Now that's what I mean by concept of God. That means, see, I have a concept of God that I don't need to borrow money. Unless it's my own money. Do you know you can borrow your own money? Do you know that? You can go to a bank, put some money in the bank, and borrow your money. They will pay you interest on your money. They make a piece, you make a piece. It's called a whole pie. It's called good business. Financial transactions. You can do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with borrowing their money. Don't misunderstand that. But I mean, see, my concept is a higher calling. My concept of a man is not the color of his skin, but like Dr. Martin Luther King says, the content of his character. So a lot of my friends, I don't know what color they are. It doesn't make, we never do it. Creflo Dollar told me one time, he said, Jesse, I don't think you know I'm black. I said, I thank you for telling me that, Creflo. I appreciate that. That don't mean different to me. I couldn't care less. My concept of a man is different than the color of his skin or a woman. See what I'm saying? But who they are. Now, if God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, then number one, write this down, for you to worship God, you got to have boundless confidence that only comes with your concept of God. So to understand worship, you got to have boundless confidence. What does that mean? You cannot worship a being you cannot trust. That's boundless confidence. I'm going to try to stay in this teaching mode. I want to preach it. I feel it coming on, glory to God. But I want to, because I don't want you to miss any part of this. You got to have boundless confidence. But when you come before God, oh, God, amazing love. You just sing. All that song's doing is preparing you for what's in your heart to come out. That's boundless confidence. But you can't worship somebody you can't trust. See, the reason why a lot of people don't tithe or a lot of people don't give or a lot of people don't love, because they don't trust God like they say they do. Trust in the Lord and do good. And the Bible says, so shall thou be fed. Lord Jesus, you get a meal. Now, Pastor David don't like that. You get a meal. Come on, Pastor David, I like going to eat with David Betty, because you can eat good when you eat with David Betty. All right, they know how they, well, she's a good cook. They know what tastes good and what doesn't taste good. Glory to God. It's a blessing. Boundless confidence. In other words, if I go eat one of Pastor Betty's mama's pies, I got boundless confidence that baby going to be good. And it's going to be fattening, but who cares? We'll deal with that later. That coconut cream pie, Lord, Jesus, my Lord, you shoot it in your veins. I ain't kidding. That's how good it is. Drug addicts will quit doing heroin when they eat some of that coconut cream pie. They go, oh, Lord, that's good. Isn't that good? Lord, geez, I ain't lying. It's just and the crust. Well, anyway, man, I tell I'm hungry. What time is it? Yeah, I'm hungry. Boundless confidence. You can't worship somebody you can't trust. Now, once you understand your concept of God, then you can understand what all these people are doing here. They are now preparing you to hear what I'm saying now. See? They're preparing you. Gifts of the Spirit have flowed. Fruits of the Spirit has flowed. You've loved each other, hugged each other, love, joy. See, all those kind of things. You've given. Now you prepared, Lord Jesus. Woo, for your concept of God to go higher and your boundless confidence to go even further than what it was. But you can't worship somebody you can't trust. Now, once you're at that level, that's pretty good. But there's another level that goes to understand worship. If I worship God in spirit and truth, then I must have boundless confidence. Once I have boundless confidence, then I have admiration. Now, what is admiration? Admiration is appreciation of the excellency of God. Do you admire God? Is he number one in your life? Spiritually, physically, financially. See, that's what that man was saying to me in California, which I didn't realize. He said, you always give glory. Well, I admire the Lord. I am proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am proud of the Holy Ghost. That's why I said at the very beginning, some people don't want people to pray in tongues in public. You know, kind of put them in the back. That's called seeker friendly. But there ain't no duct tape on the Holy Ghost's mouth in my ministry or in this church. You don't have to understand it. You don't need to be a part of it. But bless God, if God want to talk, we going to let him talk. If he want to shout, we're going to let him shout. If he want to pray, we're going to do it. He doesn't do things in the flesh, so we don't even have to worry about that. And you know something about the Lord? He's not homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological. You know, he's not dealing with debates. He's dealing with decisions. Lord Jesus, somebody. I'm starting to preach again. I got to slow down, Ron. Help me out here. Say, calm down. Just do this. Okay. Glory to God. See, out of boundless confidence comes admiration. What is admiration? Let me read it to you again. Oh, is appreciation of the excellency of God. Oh, Jesus. There's not a day go by that we don't talk about God some way, shape, form, or fashion. Some people go on vacation to get away from God. We go on vacation so we can talk more to Him. Get up in the morning, hello, Jesus. He said, hi, Jesse. Oh, glory to God. What are we going to do for you today? What am I going to do for you? I said, I'm going to beat you. I said, I'm going to try to do more for you today, Lord, than you've ever done for me, but I've never been able to do it. It's wonderful. See, that's admiration. You never heard about Jesse say, oh, I tell you what, it's wonderful being saved. Our concept of God is higher than that because we know how to worship. We have boundless confidence. We trust him. That's why we walk in this manner. Then out of that boundless confidence, Lord Jesus, comes admiration. We just appreciate it. I think it makes the devil so mad. He probably goes, you're always talking about God. Don't they know that a lot of other things in the world to talk about? Yes, the Holy Ghost. The acts of the Holy Ghost. Admiration. So from boundless confidence comes admiration. Oh, boundless confidence is you cannot worship a being you cannot trust. Admiration is, number two, is appreciation of the excellency of God. Now when you get to go to boundless confidence and you got admiration, then something else happens. You start getting like a kid. Fascination. You become fascinated with God. Out of admiration comes a higher level of fascination. What is fascination? Fascination is to be filled with moral excitement. Oh, glory. Captivated charm. Hallelujah. Entranced with who God is and struck with astonishment, magnitude, and splendor. That's what Moses was doing in them 40 days. Ooh, look at this. And he loves me. And I am his boy. You don't think I'm going to give him an offering? He's went from boundless confidence to admiration. Oh, God, show me your goodness. Show me your I'm going to pass by and show you my goodness. Whoo, Jesus. Then after that, son, fascination. You're fascinated at God. Let me say it again. What is fascination? It's being filled with moral excitement. Captivated charm. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. And entranced with who God is and struck. I can't emphasize that word. Struck with astonishment. God. Of his magnitude and his splendor. That's what's happening when they are preparing you to hear this. That my God, you become a sponge. Lord Jesus, you suck out the words that the guy doesn't say. It's called revelation. Yes, 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 yes. And you think, why, boy, if Pastor would let me have that microphone. I would say that you suck that out of it before he said it. That's magnitude and splendor. You're struck with astonishment of who God is. I love that captivated charm. Boy, it's just about you and God. Y'all into it. Yeah, we've captivated each other. We're charming people. And you're so filled with moral excitement that another woman don't even come into your mind. Well, I lost a few right there. Could you see that? Couldn't help myself. Lie, you fry. The reason why you're messing up in adultery, you hadn't learned to worship. First, you hadn't learned to worship God, much less worship your wife. Because I was thinking about what Ron said the other day. I wasn't even here. I heard about it. You know, they tell me everything. And Pia goes, Lord, it's kind of embarrassing. Ron, shut up, Lord. He said, I think about it all day. Can you imagine Ron going to work going, Pia, Pia, I've just met a girl named Pia, Pia, Pia. Now we laugh at that, but that's good. That means that's a good marriage. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Why? You worship her or you worship him. Oh, yeah. Kathy, we know it's Valentine's Day coming and all that kind of stuff. She said, Jesse, guess what's coming up? And I went, the Super Bowl. I thought it was funny. She didn't think it was funny at all. But the other day, yesterday, she just looked at me. I had captivated her. I knew it. I could see it in her eyes. I said, you won't go home, mama? I said, I'm starting to act like Ron Fortune here. That's good, Ron. I like that. That's good. What happened? She goes, you miss me? Because I've been going all week. I said, yeah. She said, say it, Jesse. Say it. I wanted to do an opera. I miss you. Yes. Yes. Say it. Hallelujah. Now I'm using these physical things, but do you miss God? Do you wish there'd be two Sundays in a day? Two Sundays in a week? Huh? Good God. This is boundless confidence. Admiration. Oh, fascination. You struck with astonishment. Every time God does a miracle, I go, wow. Even when he doesn't do a miracle, when I know his presence, and I go, wow, man, it's so good to know God is here. Remember that song, God is here? Oh, Jesus. But you think that's the top. Uh-uh. Once you went from boundless confidence to admiration, to fascination, then you get into adoration. You just look at him like, you're like a lovesick puppy. I've had Kathy, I woke up at night and did she just stand at me. I said, you want something? Something wrong with something? Well, what? Nothing. I just wanted to look at you. So sometimes I close my eyes, see if she closes her. But you know, you can't keep them too long, so you just open up one real quick. And she's still looking at you. That's adoration. The other day I walked by and she said, I saw you look at me. I said, yeah, yeah. Did you hear what I'm thinking too? Glory to God. Talk to me, mama. Hey, come on. See, now the men finally got it. They went, yeah, man. Okay, I got you, man. I got you. Adoration. What does that mean? Oh, God. To love God with all the power within you. With respect. Wonder. Yearning. Awe. My God, this is just gets bigger and bigger. To such a degree, it will cause a breathless silence. There isn't enough words. There's not enough adjectives. Paul the Apostle trying to get it over to the church at Ephesus. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Oh God, wait a minute. Above all that we could possibly ask or think. Good Lord, how do I do it? According to the power that worketh in us. That's why when your back's bleeding, you're singing songs. Sing, Silas. Why? Boundless confidence. Boundless confidence. Adoration. Fascination. Adoration. This God. This Yeshua. Whew, that's understanding worship. He struck man. Not only with astonishment and fascination, but now you adore him so much with all power. That, can't you understand, you that don't think, you know, that we crazy, why we give the way we give? Do you understand why it's so easy for us to let go money? Huh? Do you know why? Adoration. We're struck with astonishment, which is fascinating. And then we have yearning and awe and respect. Because see, we love God with all the power within us. See what I'm saying? My Lord. To such a degree that when people ask you to explain it, you get a breathless silence. Like, so that's why I believe in the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking. I can't pray it in English. I can't get there. I have to pray it in something where I have to totally turn my mind, my soul over to him and allow him to speak to me without allowing one thought to come into my mind that that's of the devil. No. And the reason why you could say that's of the devil, and I'm not being correcting to you, is because, see, that adoration. You haven't got to that point of awe or respect or yearning or worshiping God with all the power. Because you see, you're confined to theology and institution, religiosity. And it holds you. And it's got walls so high you can't get over them. Because see, this is the way how you worship it. And you can only worship him this way. But God says, break down the barriers and trust me. That let me speak to you. And how it sounds, it's not your business, but mine. Somebody shout something. Are y'all getting this? You understand what I'm saying here? I'm not trying to convince you, make you think my way. I'm just showing you how to understand this worship. Let me say it again. Let me write it down. Adoration. To love God with all the power within you. With respect. Oh, Lord. Wonder. Yearning. Awe. To such a degree, it causes a breathless silence. And I just gave you four things. That should be enough. But that's not the supreme. That's not the supreme. You go from boundless confidence to admiration, to fascination, to adoration. And when you hit that level, the last and final complete is visitation. All of a sudden, it's you and God. You no longer walk in the realm of fellowship with God. You walk in the realm of, realm of a relationship, but in the realm of fellowship. You go from a relationship, religiosity, to a fellowship. You become the friend of God. just like Abraham. Abraham, come outside. I'm going to show you something unbelievable, unthinkable, and impossible. I'm going to make you seed like the stars. Don't make no difference if your wife's 90. And you 100 and you're dead. You couldn't have sex. It's only a memory. It's finished. It's over. Right? None of that. You worshiping God now. So you consider not your body. Being dead, you know what it is. Why is this? That's good enough, huh? How are you going higher? You stagger not at the promises of God. But you struck with astonishment. You in awe, wonder, respect. You consider not. You stagger not. Now why is this? You are fully. Everybody say fully. See, when you're fully, there ain't no more. That's as good as it gets. Persuaded. People laughing at you. People think you're stupid. But you've learned to worship God. And all of a sudden, this impossibility, this unbelievability, all this stuff that people think are crazy becomes reality. Who would have thought, let's get physical here, so something you can, who would have thought that I would ever get to a position in my life that I would not need money? And yet my two people at work would have told you that. Who would have thought? Let me help you. God. That is so low on his pole that he makes gold concrete. See, so you understand that prosperity is not a money message. It's an obedience message. You walk on it. It doesn't make any difference. Think about that. Me and Kathy never, ever, 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 ever think of divorce. That doesn't mean we don't have spats, chats. That's not the issue. That divorce word, that D word, that's not even a good grade, a D. It's never there. Why? She's in awe of me. She is. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's not cockiness. That's assurance. I know. I've been living with this woman 35 years. She's in awe of me. I am in awe of her. I don't see her flaws. Jesse, you think I got fat on my back? Ladies, let me help you here. There ain't no man anywhere in the world saying, did you see the fat on that woman's back? Do you understand? There are other parts they like to look at other than a back. That's for you to sit up so you don't fall down. You understand what I'm saying? That's all that's used for. You understand what I'm saying? Good Lord, man, what's the matter with you? But, you know, I understand you want to be perfect all over. If your husband is in awe of you, you have no flaws. Or if your wife is in awe of her husband, he has no flaws, she has. No, why? Because you see, you've entered into a marriage of worship. That's why you can receive from each other. That doesn't mean you don't have differences of opinion. That's going to happen. Or different forms of worship in different churches. That's okay. I'm not trying to change worship. I'm just trying to make you understand it. That it's preparation for you to get what I'm saying here. Then all of a sudden, this little simple verse, for God so loved the world. You don't just quote like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or, you say this, bring all the tithe and the storehouse, that it may meet man, how food man, I have saved the Lord of hosts, and I open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Time to tithe. Time to give. I know that already. How come you're not in awe? How come you're not struck with astonishment? How come you're not struck with respect? Magnitude, splendor. Jesus, man. Appreciation, excellency. Breathless silence. I tell preachers this all the time. When a person new comes to your church, let me get down here for a minute. I know I'm going a little long. When a person new comes to your church, they always want to do something. Now, pastors, how long y'all been pastoring, David? Now, what, 35, 36 years, something like that? 36 years, Pastor David and Betty. Now, they understand pastoring because they've been pastoring a long time. And am I telling the truth that pastors look for people? A church can't operate without volunteers. Am I correct? You got to have people help you. So, man, when someone wants to help you, go, glory to God. Glory to God, yeah. Because you need help. This is a corporation here. This thing is big just to keep the lights on. Just all the different. If an air conditioning goes out, you sit here, but you see a bunch of people running. So you don't sweat up a storm and all that kind of stuff. Why is this? So you need people like it. You need ushers. You need people like, oh, all kinds of stuff, everything. And that's wonderful. You don't realize the magnitude it takes. But you see, what we try to do here at Covenant Church is not make you a worker. We make you a worshiper. Amen. Amen. See, because if we made you a worker right away, and somebody said, how come they're not using me? Because you hadn't learned to worship yet. You've learned to sing, but you hadn't learned to worship. See, because if I make you a worker, your work won't last. You're going to burn out. You're going to get tired. But if I make you a worshiper, oh, Jesus, then when you work, your work will last for eternity. I went to a funeral of my Uncle Ralph, and I've never seen this before in my life, and I'm going to close with this. Ever, Jessica and Tracy, I was shocked. Now, I've been in the ministry a long time. I didn't realize how much my Uncle Ralph loved this church, my Uncle Ralph Cambry. He just went home to be with the Lord a few months back. So we went to his funeral. That's my last uncle here, you know. Ron, I couldn't get over it. So the funeral was one. They asked me to say a few words. I said he loved this country. He served this country. He served this family. He served this church. Yeah. I mean, he was a veteran in World War II and all that kind of stuff. Make a long story short. I knew he was an usher, but I didn't realize the magnitude of what usher meant to him. It meant as much as the fivefold ministry around apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor to my Uncle Ralph. He loved that church on the West Bank. Now watch this. And all the ushers had on same jackets. I think of a burgundy jacket, right, Kathy? Kind of a burgundy jacket, you know, your button and everything, you know. You know, usher something. We could do that here if y'all want some jackets. I'll buy you some. I don't care. What color you want? Make no difference. That's what you want? We'll do it. You know, we're just a little loosey. You have to tell us. Watch this. All of a sudden, this person brought a chair at the funeral. This is at the funeral. Brought a chair up, a regular chair, with his red usher jacket on and his usher pin. And they retired that chair and retired his blazer. It sits in the church. No one sits in it. Now that's an act of honor. I've never seen that in my life. We were shocked. Me and Kathy went, isn't that wonderful? But he was such a worker. To him, ushering was something, but he was there. It was first. Because it was his church. And you know, he was raised Catholic all his life. And I said, do you know how, I can say this because now they're all dead and in heaven. My aunts and my uncles, I can say this. And boy, this is my Catholic. This is the only one of my uncles and my aunts that were Catholic. And they won't stay Catholic. And all the other uncles and aunts, oh, they're going to Catholic church. He liked this Catholic church. What's wrong? Excuse me. You know, he just happened to like. But one day the Lord just touched him. He still loved the Catholic Church. We went with him several times. But God brought him into a deeper revelation of understanding. And he just didn't leave his Catholic Church, but he became an usher of this, what's it called, baby? The Bible Tabernacle Church there on the West Bank. He still loved the Catholic Church. Don't misunderstand me. In fact, I went with him. We went somewhere. I can't remember now. And this Catholic priest was so kind. He says, I know some Catholic churches don't allow you to take communion. But he says, since I am the father of this church, anybody wants communion, even though you're not Catholic, you're welcome to come and take it. I thought that was a very kind thing. Why would you, You know, but some people, I'm not being critical here, but boy, so Uncle Rob got up and went to take communion. And we all know what that is. How many of y'all been Catholic at once, you know? Am I telling the truth? This is how it is. Am I telling the truth? Not being critical of the truth, but just telling the truth. That's a wonderful thing. Nothing wrong with that. They retired his seat. They retired his coat. He had learned to worship as an usher. His worship to God was his work. And several times the pastor, I found out later on, take him on a couple of meetings, the pastor go preach a meeting somewhere. He said, Rob, won't come? Oh, I'd love to. But we got to be back at church. He said, I know I'm the pastor. I'll be back. That was a wonderful thing. Now, what did he have? Boundless confidence, admiration, fascination, adoration, visitation. Visitation. That's where we want to get you at Covenant Church. So that when the word of God comes out, and remember this, your revelation will be, and once you have visitation, you can take it to the bank. Every time you open your mouth, revelation will come out of it. Man. And it'll be such a blessing to all those that come into contact. We're not trying to be better than anybody. We just want what God said we could have. It's so wonderful to be saved. So when I get something, when somebody says something stupid like, oh, Billy Graham and Franklin Graham, they preach such simple messages. I said, we got to take them to a worship seminar. They know how to work, but they don't know how to worship. But once they learn how to worship, their work will last for eternity. See, so let me go over this real quick one more time, fast. What's the difference? Praise is different than worship primarily because praise is congregational. Worship is singular. Check your notes. I could preach this as a series. It would take me 6 weeks to do it all. But I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost to blow this up into your big. So worship rises or falls with your concept of God. There are five factors in worship you as a believer should have. One is boundless confidence. You cannot worship a being you cannot trust. Then out of that boundless confidence comes admiration. Admiration is appreciation of the excellency of God. Then from that level, number three comes fascination. Oh God, is to be filled with moral excitement, captivated charm, entranced with who God is, and struck with astonishment and magnitude and splendor of who he is. You think that'd be enough, because that's a high. But then out of fascination comes adoration. To love God with all the power within you, spiritually, physically, financially, with respect, wonder, yearning, awe, to such a degree, it will cause a breathless silence. And then finally, visitation. What is visitation? It's unspeakable. 40 days. And the first person's going to speak will be God. Because there's no words you can contain him with. Visitation, silence. Moses stood in the presence of God, not a word spoken. He went through the five facets, the five steps. And when he got there, finally, when he did talk, you know what came out of his mouth? Obedience. Let's do what God says. Boom, buddy. And before you know it, God had a sanctuary in a desert that you can't live in. So you may have got out of the land of not enough. And you may be in the wilderness Christianity. FEMA trailer park. Of the land of just enough. Which means if you're in a FEMA trailer, It's hard to take a shower on all sides at one time. But you can get it done. Thank God for it. That's the land of just enough. But he's wanting to get you to the land of more than enough. But you'd be surprised how many people become femurized. Welfare, just enough. But with this church and what this ministry is doing, all you that are watching all over the world, we're going to take you to the land of more than enough where you go, y'all have any problems? No. Is there a need we could meet in your life? No. Man, y'all live in a fantasy. Yeah. God. Heaven on earth, a life of overflow. We'd like to do something. Would you like to help? No, we'll just take care of it all. Okay. Then you'll have somebody said, the Bible said the poor you'll have what you always. I said, the you is you. I'm not part of your you. Best thing I can do for the poor is not to be poor so I can help the poor. My God. And just standing, people look at you and go, wow. They're crazy. We've arrived. We're in visitation. That's why we just do this. What you doing? Worshiping God, man. Well, say something. Can't. No words to explain this, man. Just. Did you enjoy it? Give the Lord a hand clap. Stand to your feet. Give him a standing ovation now. He certainly deserves it. Good. Well, me and Kathy, some of our best conversations was what the Lord's told her and what the Lord's told me. Jesse, let me tell you what God said. How many times I've snuck back to, she didn't even know I was watching it. We have a sunroom on our house, in the back of our house. It's beautiful, little, it's all glass. It's really pretty. Kathy goes back there, drink her coffee in the morning. Got her Bible, and I see it like this. See, just a prayer. She just blesses the Lord. I can see it. I mean, I can feel the presence of God. So I just come in, and all of a sudden she looks at me and goes, you're here. It's a good marriage. I said, yeah. I said, you want something? You need something? It's a wonderful thing. It truly is a wonderful thing. What is marriage? A death of two wills and the covenant of one. That's the same way with God, buddy. Not my will, but thine be done. With your head bowed, please. Maybe you don't have that in your life. Maybe you know about God, but you don't know God. I would love to introduce you to God and teach you to worship. It's an awesome responsibility. Let us introduce you to our Father, our family, our Abba Father. Maybe you're struggling with your Christianity. I don't know, temptation's been beating on you pretty bad. Well, Jesse, how do I stop this? Just get deeper in worship. It'll prepare you for the Word to such a degree. The temptation will come by you and look at it like Jesus. I won't fall for this trap. It's such a shallow thing. So if you'd like to get to know God instead of just knowing about Him. It's called getting saved. Or if you're not where you should be with God and you need to come back to Him, to draw closer to Him, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand on. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. What a blessing. Could I see one more? Don't miss this, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I see that hand. Everyone look at me. I'll talk now to the internet people. I see a camera. You see a website. But God sees us both. I'm going to ask you to make a decision instead of a debate. A debate makes a discussion. A decision makes a choice. God's not a debate. He's a decision. I'm going to ask you to make this decision with us here in the New Orleans area at Covenant Church, Jesse the Planter's Ministries, World Outreach Centers right here. We want to be your friend. We would love to be your spiritual father. We would love to say, Lord, we're going to help these all over the world because you gave us the technology to do so. Now, you that lifted your hand in this physical building, I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand here. Front of everybody? Yeah, front of everybody. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on a cross in the front of everybody. Come quickly and stand there. Let God be magnified in your life. Now, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with me, you that are watching all over the world and you that are standing right before me. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone in this church to repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with Jesus Christ. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give Him a hand clap. You made it today. You made it today.